Hey babies, this is Bunny XO, host of the Dumb Blonde podcast, and I want to talk to you about the free iHeartRadio app. Did you know that you can listen to all your favorite iHeart stations across the country on the iHeartRadio app, and it's free? Download all your favorite episodes so you can listen on the go. They now offer a super cool feature called Talkback, giving pod fans access like never before to their favorite hosts, as well as the opportunity to submit questions, influence future episodes, and more. Download the iHeart app today and don't forget to listen to my weekly show, The Dumb Blonde Podcast.
If I had to think of a time I personally smelled my worst, it would have to be after one of Jay's concerts, an outside concert at that. My right armpit was ripe for the pickings, smelled like beef stroganoff. I kid you not, it was rancid. As a special offer, new customers get 15% off all Lumi products with our exclusive code and link. Use code BUNNY, B-U-N-N-I-E, at LumiDeodorant.com. And that's LumiDeodorant.com. I personally freaking love Lumi. I have every scent. My favorite one is the toasted coconut, though, because even when you sweat, it still smells so good and so yummy, and you feel like you're on a tropical island. But I promise you guys, any sort of smells you could possibly have, Lumi will cover it up. Once again, as a special offer for listeners, new customers get 15% off all Lumi products with our exclusive code. And if you combine the 15% off with the already discounted starter pack, that equals over 40% off their starter pack. Use code BUNNY, B-U-N-N-I-E, for 15% off your first purchase at LumiDeodorant.com. That's code BUNNY, B-U-N-N-I-E, at LumiDeodorant.com.
Is this thing on?
All right, gentlemen, coming to main stage next, this is Bunny. Get up there. She's got a tornado of titties coming your way. Get those dollar bills ready. She's got an ass that shakes like Michael J. Fox. So get up there and throw them dollars.
Dude, that is fucking iconic. What's up, you sexy motherfuckers? Welcome to another episode of Dumb Blonde. Today, we got a little trouble in the studio.
Listen, man. I'm just a party planner.
Who the fuck is Justin Time?
How are you doing?
What are you doing, baby?
I'm doing good. Fresh off a four-hour drive.
I feel so bad. Like, he literally drove here from Memphis. You were recording an album with...
Yeah, Pat or Lil White.
Lil White, yeah. That's exciting.
Yeah, super, super cool. OGP, he's pretty legendary, so it's a pretty humbling experience.
Yeah, can you talk more about it? Or is it
absolutely.
What are you guys doing?
About an 8-song album.
Yeah.
And we linked up at the rave, the Redneck Rave, mm-hmm. and we were on shrooms at the time, so I didn't think it was really going to, like, it was a thing. I thought it was just a conversation. Mm-hmm. And then he hit me up a couple weeks ago and was like, hey, man, I was fucking serious about fucking doing the album.
Yeah.
So now we're here. He came to Indianapolis, and then I came up to Memphis, and we got about one more session, and we'll be good.
What a sweet soul he is, though. I love Wyatt.
And he can party about as hard as I can.
Dude, he's a fucking rock star. Yeah. Like, I thought my husband could party. Wyatt out-parties us all. So if you party more than Wyatt, this is fucking insane.
Yeah, old Pat was done at about, 11:30 last night. So it was he was slumped in the car. Not to call you out, but yeah, that was pretty fun.
Well, let's dive into it. So you're known for your party planning for the Redneck Rave.
Yes, ma'am.
How did you get into party planning?
Like a short story?
No, or, I mean, we're here.
I would say I was a musician at first. Like, I was trying to be a rapper.
Oh, okay. So you were a musician before you ever did party planning. I did not know that.
Okay. And I sort of learned really fast, like, if I want to open up doors, then I should do my own events.
Yeah.
And then that way I don't have to worry about, you know, like, trying to track down places to, you know, get booked and stuff. So
yeah, that's smart.
Yeah, so rather than just go and be an artist, I was like to control the whole damn thing. So
yeah,
we started in a cornfield. I had no idea what the hell a mud bog was at all.
When was the first one?
About 6 years ago.
Okay.
Yeah, so we've been doing this since like 2015.
Yeah.
Yeah, so yeah, I had no idea what a mud bog was or anything, and I had a buddy, and he was just like, hey man, you should, you know, throw this, you know, kind of fucking redneck shindig. And I just did it my own way, And fucking, we did the first one, and like 1,000 people showed up. We did
That's
it again.
Awesome for a first party, guys.
Yes, yes, That's yes.
I'm from Vegas, so I'm from where like the original raves fucking came from. So for 1,000 people to show up to your first one, that's huge. Ever.
And it was per carload. Like, so I charged like $10 for a carload, and like the Amish people were coming, like. 30 deep in a fucking minivan and like just piling
Do Amish people get lit?
Yeah, it was like Rumspringer or whatever that shit's called.
Oh my
so it was like
God.
Yeah, they motherfuckers know how to party. Party with the Amish. So the Amish sort of actually, now that I think about it, sort of broke my cherry as far as like just letting loose and just fucking being belligerent, but like a controlled chaos, so to speak.
I love that. That's fucking awesome. And so you just were like, you know what? I was such a success the first time. I'm just going to fucking keep doing them.
I was fucking working at Arby's.
Oh.
And like cutting grass at this time. Yeah. So it was like when I just had 1,000 people show up to a party, I was like pretty much like, yeah, fuck you, Arby's. And fuck cutting grass and all this. I'm going to keep doing it. So I did like another one. And like 2 weeks later, and like 3,000 people showed up.
It just kept fucking snowballing.
It just kept going and going. And then we started adding like fucking like acts and artists and shit like that. So like, it catapulted it even more.
I love that for you guys. So where did you grow up?
Fort Wayne, Indiana, and North Carolina.
That's where my family is from. My mom's side of the family is from Kokomo and Fort Wayne.
Yep, Fort Wayne. Good old Parkview Memorial Hospital. That's
right. Yeah. I don't know much about that side of my family except for they are fucking white trash hillbillies. Yep. And I love it.
They probably drink moonshine too. Guaranteed.
Yeah, guaranteed. So you grew up in Indiana. Were you always into music or how did you get involved in music? How was your childhood? Let's talk about that.
Childhood? Well, my dad was a Marine.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, we pretty much lived in a couple different places and stuff, but it was a yes, ma'am, no, ma'am kind of thing. So that's why.
Super strict.
Yeah. I wouldn't say super strict. It was just like, it was a military, you know what I mean? But it turned out, you know, I was kind of like an unruly ass kid and shit. Yeah. So kind of, you know. But we moved around a bunch. We lived in Florida too, so that was pretty cool to live there. And I started making music literally the day that Michael Jackson died.
Oh,
it's crazy to like say that, but like if I go on like a timestamp, that was
August. Did he die in August?
I have the exact date. I'd have to
look because I remember I was in beauty school when he died.
Yeah, that's when I made the first song in the closet. With like a microphone hanging off the coat, like a hanger and shit. Like it was pretty ratchet. But.
So you were just like from the gate, I want to be a rapper.
Yeah, pretty much.
Who like inspired you to want to do music? Does anybody in your family do music?
To be honest, I heard the 50 Cent album, the Get Rich or Die Trying, and I felt like that's like just one of the coolest albums ever. So
it's actually a really good album.
It really is.
He doesn't get enough credit.
You can play it.
Oh yeah, that was my anthem in high school. I just showed how old I was, but seriously,
it's all good. It's all good.
Yeah, no, seriously, 50 was a force to be reckoned with back in the day, and he doesn't get enough credit because he's such a fucking troll now.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I know a little bit about the trolling aspect.
Yeah, we're gonna talk about that.
I do know a little bit.
Let's get past the childhood first, we'll get into the trolling.
So I would just say, military background, family and stuff like that, moved around. I would say like my parents, they always, I mean, we weren't like the richest people in the world, but we weren't the poorest.
Yeah,
like we always had a roof over our head. Some Christmases would be bigger than others, some would be small, but like my parents, they always tried, and they always try to like provide. Like that's who I kind of like model as far as when I look at my kids and stuff. I want to try to like be like them, just all the like fucking sacrifices and shit they made.
Yeah, so. That was my next question. So you do have a good relationship with your parents?
Yeah,
and stuff.
Yes, absolutely.
That's amazing.
And then my mom, she don't like the cussing and stuff, like and none of it. But you know, she deals with it.
I bet they're proud of you now, though. They're like, okay, we get it.
Yeah. They worked the front gate when I first started the Redneck Raves. Like I had my family out there. It was me, my mom, my dad, and my sister, and then Kimmy came. Like,
I love Kimmy.
Yes.
She's so cool. We'll get into her in a little bit too.
Yeah, that's a whole segment right there.
For sure. Okay, so you got in the booth, you recorded your first song. What was it called?
Get Up Off My D.
Were you always wait a second.
So cheap.
I want to hear it. That would actually probably be a bop now.
I'll listen to it every now and then to see like the fucking transition of where it came from, and it kind of does. But then it's kind of like, oh man, what the hell was I thinking? Like,
I think all
had a dance and everything with it. And it was kind of.
Can we see it?
No, ma'am.
I can't, he said, no, ma'am.
Yeah, no, ma'am. We can't do that.
Oh, no. I did it. That would be awesome.
It was like a slick back your Dougie and then like do a little. Yeah, it was just. It was fun though. Like, I had a great time doing it.
So. I love that. So you got in the booth, you recorded the song, and you were just like, "This is what I'm gonna do."
Yeah.
And so like, from there, what happened after you recorded that your big smash hit, "Get Up Off My D"?
I learned real quick that it sounded like shit.
So yeah, like, but anything that makes bitches shake their ass and talks about dicks, I feel like does good.
Yeah, but it was like it didn't sound good.
Oh, okay.
And gotcha. Like, and I try to force it on my friends. Like, listen to this shit, and they're just like, "Yeah, it's good," but you can tell. In their like soul,
yeah,
it was just fucking garbage.
Yeah, they were just trying to be nice.
So I like I pawned my TV and I got like a real studio session, and then I did it the right way and I did a song. It was called "My City Is the Greatest," and then it kind of like that's what like fucking catapulted. I was like, all right, I'm gonna start promoting it and like fucking learn Facebook and all this other shit. And
yeah,
Facebook, I study a lot of shit. Like I study everybody who's doing. I study how you do it, how you move. You're always putting out content. I study all the artists. I study everything.
But that's how you learn. That's smart.
Yeah.
When's your birthday?
January 9th.
Okay, I'm January 22nd. Capricorn. It's just us. It's in us to study and assassinate. I guess you could say, like, we zone in and we're like, okay, they're doing this, I can do it better.
Absolutely.
So yeah, no, I'm totally the same way. Work ethic is impeccable. Okay, so after you recorded your city song, did you drop an album or were you just dropping singles?
No, I just did that one single, and I did that single for literally like, I just rode that wave for like 3 years on this one song.
Wow.
And I was doing it like we were doing little kids' birthday parties, and like it was.
Did you perform "Get Up Off My D"?
No. I only had the one song.
Okay,
like,
gotcha.
Because we scratched the "Get Up Off My D" song. We completely scratched that, and then and then we did the "My City Is the Greatest" song, and we rode that wave. Me and my boy Russell, we did go to school.
So were you guys a duo or
no,
a group?
No, he was like the hype man.
Okay, gotcha.
Too. Yeah, so like childhood best friend, and. Like, I kind of emulated a lot that he did because he was, like, hyping the crowd. He would always be in the, all this shit.
It's very important to have a hype man.
Yes.
Hype men are underestimated.
Yeah, when you jump around and drink on the stage the entire time, you can't hit every word. It's just fucking impossible.
Yeah, for sure. So. Did you ever go through a phase where you had fucking corn rolls?
No.
Okay.
No, I did.
I bust I did my not, husband's
I,
ass.
I see struggles. Struggle got the corn rolls. I know he looks
so
back.
So did daddy. So did my husband.
Yeah, I know they look back like... Oh man, it was
no, so... you know what? It's Jay embraces it.
What did you think? What was your initial reaction to the cornrows?
I would have never dated him. I hated it. I was like, bro, no, like never do that again, buddy. We stan a king who BYOBs. What is this right here? What are you drinking?
Oh, Michael Jordan's tequila.
Michael, like the
like
fucking
the Michael Jordan. Yeah, he's got his own tequila, and it's so fire.
That is
would
awesome.
You like to try a cup?
No, I'm sober.
Did you like one? Nope, no one's drinking.
No, right. Go ahead. No, I love it.
You feel like an alcoholic even more,
no,
man.
No, I love. Are you kidding me? Do you know who I'm married to? Like, please. He drinks on any day that ends in Y.
Yes.
All right. So, you guys, when did you start performing shows? And, like, when did you start, like, really feeling like your music career was getting the recognition that it deserved?
I can't really. The music really didn't happen until. I brought the Redneck Raves into play.
Gotcha. Okay.
So it was like, I was just kind of like, your normal, just trying to, do music. Mm-hmm. All my friends are doing it. It was just kind of a, let's do it for fun. But I took it a little bit more serious than others.
Right.
And then it was just like, I would try and try and try. And
But how cool that your business mind was so fucking smart that you were like, you know what? To boost my fucking music career, I'm gonna start throwing these fucking raves.
Yeah.
So what goes on at these raves?
Well, I mean, according to fucking CNN, it's fucking throat slashing.
Oh my god!
Impalements, and the impalement did happen, but like everything else,
what happened
was like a dude fucking was in a trail and a big ass log shot up through another side by side and like went like right here.
Oh, did he live?
Yes, he did live.
Thank goodness.
He did. I mean, he lost like a small intestine, a kidney, a liver.
He had a good time.
Yeah, he came back.
He went home.
He was right back at the next one when we did
he went
it
home with a shit ton of memories and fucking stories to tell.
But no, I would say, to be honest with you, it really is like just a bunch of like good fucking people that get
just
together
having a good time,
and they can let loose, they can be themselves, nobody cares like what your fucking political views are, your backgrounds.
I'm so tired
of
that
shit. Yeah, it's not like I feel like a lot of people, they hear the name Redneck and Rave and they may think something stereotype instantly, mm-hmm. but it's like, I tell everybody, man, just go to it one time and you'll be able to see like it's like a family for real.
Just come have fun.
Yeah,
that's what it's about. I think everybody in this generation is forgetting to fucking have fun.
Yeah.
Like, well, I feel like we partied so much. How old are you?
I'm 33.
Okay, yeah. So I feel we partied, our generation like partied. And yeah. I feel like kids nowadays like are so worried about their fucking mental health, which is awesome and cool, but it's like they're forgetting to have fun. And yeah. I think that the Redneck Rave and stuff like that brings, you know, kids and the younger generation can see how the older generation is partying and everybody gets together and just has a fucking blast.
Yeah. I think everybody gets too butthurt easy.
Like, right. Like, oh, yeah. Everybody's fucking offended. Like, it's, I get so much shit online. It's insane. And I'm just like, and sometimes I'll talk shit back to the people and they're like, well, I just wanted to know you to notice me. Yeah, and it's like, this.
Some days you just wake up and choose fucking violence. That's what I do. I'll be like, oh.
No, I'm very violent. So I love to choose violence. I choose violence daily. They have to talk me down all the time because I always want to fucking call people out. So besides the Redneck Rave, you know, okay, so when did you start making, like, you have a track with Up Church. Mm-hmm. You have a track. Do you and Jay have a track yet?
Yeah. So what I did was, is I used the Rave to build relationships, or, you know, be able to get the opportunity to be like, hey, let's do a song since you played the event. Mm-hmm. So one thing that I think is really cool is like every single person that's played the Redneck Rave, I have a song with.
Yeah.
So and
has Daddy played the Redneck Rave yet?
Yeah. Oh, did he? Yeah, okay. Yeah, he did 100%. They did it on the Waylon and Willing tour. And that was before.
Oh, yeah. I might have sat that one out.
Yeah. I don't think you were there.
Yeah.
I think you were at that one. And I had no idea who Jelly and Struggle was.
Oh, wow.
Like, so somebody was just like, hey, you should book these guys. I think I think Chad, what's his name? Chad Shepard actually was like, mm-hmm. hey, you should book these guys. And then so I did it. And I was like, I thought they fucking killed it. And I like became mm-hmm. a fan right then watching. And I was like, man, this is like a cool ass job because like I just get to sit there.
Yeah, and study.
And like it's good when people make good music. Like there's a lot of people in country rap that I feel like.
Yeah, it's a really hard genre.
Yeah,
you know, I'm from the West Coast. I never knew what a fucking country rap artist was until I moved here. You know, I mean, when I got with my husband, but even then, I'm still learning like who all of you guys are, and it's really cool. You guys kind of like are outlaws that are doing your own thing, which I think is awesome because all these fucking mumble rappers that are fucking going on right now, like I feel like you guys rap and sing about really dope shit. Mm-hmm. And you guys it has, well, culture.
It's like the shit that you live or like you go out and do, and I feel like a lot of people can relate because they're out there mudding, they're out there fucking raising hell and they're doing all that shit. And I mean, but don't get me wrong, I listen to the other mumble rap shit. Like I'll go in the cornfield, and when you're at the rave, you hear nothing but rap. Like Lil Boosie's playing, fucking Kevin Gates.
I mean, we love Boosie, we love Kevin. They're like gangsters. I'm talking about like these fucking mumble rappers,
like the Lil Xans and shit.
Everybody's like into that shit, and I'm just like, how can you guys listen to this? But like, I love that you guys are like, you know, blazing trails for this side of the world, and like actually getting like recognition. Like Up Church, you, Daddy, like everybody. You guys are just like really making a name for yourselves.
Well, I think what it is like it's all it's relatable, and people, they gravitate towards like shit like that just makes them feel a certain emotion.
Yeah,
and I think that's where it really comes from, as far as like the Ryans and the Jellies and the Calhouns and all those guys.
They put
out content 24/7, but it's good content, and people, it's like emotional and shit like that they can relate to.
Totally. Let's talk about Kimmy. When did Kimmy come into your life?
Kimmy. Okay. So
she's hot, by the way, guys. If you guys don't know who his other half is, you guys got to look her up. She is the one a babe.
Keeps me sane, so to speak.
Yeah.
But no, she came in. I was living in a fucking Harry Potter closet, one bedroom apartment. And like, she swerved me for like 2 months. I was that annoying guy in the inbox like every day, like, hello, good morning.
Oh, you slide in the DMs.
Yes, I slid in the DMs first, and she rejected it over and over and over. And finally, she came over, and she never left. Actually, that first time that she came over, you know, she stayed the night, and then the next day she bought an air conditioner, like a window unit for me, because at the time I was broke. And she bought a window unit for me, and then she was like, well, if I leave, I'm taking my window unit with me. So she fucking stayed, and she's never left. And
when was this? How long ago was that?
Oh, that was in 2015. It was race first started.
So you guys got together when Jay and I got together.
Yeah. Pretty much same timeline, yeah.
Isn't it crazy how just having a good woman can help set the tone for everything else that happens?
I think it's the trust thing.
Yeah.
I think it's being able to actually, like, trust somebody and you know that they always are going to have
your
best interests at heart. So
that, and they also make you feel good because they believe in you, you know?
They push you and, yeah. There's been times I definitely wanted to be like, fuck this, and she would be like, what the hell are you doing? Get your shit together. And fucking ship up and shape out.
So have you guys always been on a smooth ride or a couple bumps in the road?
We've never really, it's a couple, so you're gonna have your little fucking fights every now and then, but you know, I don't like to go to bed mad at somebody, so we try to nip it in the butt before we go to sleep, and then, you know, then fucking keep it moving.
Now you guys have a beautiful baby together.
Oh, yes, Miss Bella Rose.
Yes. Well, she was just born, right?
Yeah, she's 6.5 months right now.
Oh, what's it like being a daddy?
That's the one thing I always wanted was, was a daughter. So it was like,
wow, that's usually the opposite. Usually guys want boys.
Yeah. I always wanted a daughter. And then, like, I had my oldest son, and I wasn't too like fucking financially stable, so we slept on couches and shit together. So now I feel like having my daughter is like another chance.
It's a blessing.
Yeah, to go ahead and, you know, right my wrong, so to speak, and just spoil the shit out of her. Like, that's all my Instagram is now, is just pictures of her. I don't really.
I love how you dressed up as the Beast.
Yes.
Like,
Beauty
how
and her
cute
beast.
Was that? I was like, dude, that is so fucking adorable.
Yeah,
and she's gonna look back on that and have those memories for the rest of her life.
We're gonna do them all. Like we want to do like the Grinch with fucking Cindy Lou Who. So every like Disney or movie we want to do where there's a like a beastly thing and then a princess kind of thing.
Every girl's relationships will always be based on her love for her daddy. So you're setting the tone for her to know her worth and to know what to expect out of a man. So that's really cool that you're doing that. 100%. Especially somebody as wild as you. You're like a kind of like a little hellraiser.
Yes.
What's up with that,
bro? I get drinking and shit happens, and then I don't know what the fuck to do, and I just.
I was a little nervous to have you on. Not gonna lie.
I was fucking hungover. And I'm not gonna lie. That was the reason why we were 5 minutes late too, because we sped and then we made it, and then we were able to get a bottle. So I was like, all right. So I ain't been drinking for a couple hours, so you're good to go.
But. No, good. So what is all this trolling about? Do you consider it trolling? What do you consider it on your end?
So I'm not going to say no names. I promised myself I wouldn't say no. None of y'all are fucking getting no tokens off.
Yeah, nobody gets free clout on the Dumb Blonde podcast.
Yeah, no fucking clout tokens. But man, to be honest, I'd never like go out of my way.
Is it people just picking fights with you and you finishing them?
And then I fucking go at them and then they play that fucking victim role.
Right.
And then it makes me look like the fucking bad guy. But this guy, they'll fucking make diss tracks. They'll talk about your fucking old ladies and fucking all this shit. And then you're supposed to be like, no, I'm just going to, no, fuck that. And
so you never start it, but you finish it.
Facts. There's not been one situation like ever, because I just don't like hate on people. It's just not in me. I like to see motherfuckers win.
Yeah.
But some of these motherfuckers, they just get a little, like, I don't know, fucking jealous of shit. And it's just like, bro, you got the fucking same opportunities. You just got to fucking go out and get them.
Isn't it crazy how talking shit, even if we're speaking facts, seems to fucking just make the world go round? Like, my most fucking popular posts are me talking shit back to people.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's crazy, right?
I mean, but it's sadly, drama does sell.
Yeah.
So you gotta see, you gotta look at it like that. Like, motherfuckers ain't gonna, they won't like something that's super positive.
Right.
But if it's a fucking post where you're clowning somebody or doing something, that fucking hit the like, drop a comment, share the shit, fucking tell their friends about it. Friends are fucking doing it. It's weird, but I mean, it's part of the game. Fuck it.
I've seen you drop like a couple songs too after some shit has hit
country
the
fan. Rap facts. So I was fucking actually making a fucking EDM song. Like, I was like fucking singing and auto-tune right before we did this song. And I was like, fuck this shit, because I almost named him.
Yeah.
But the guy with the eyebrow ring, he fucking sit there and he'll keep picking and picking and picking.
I'm just going to let you guys know, I don't know who the guy with the eyebrow ring is.
It's a subliminal shot. It's definitely a subliminal shot. But like, he just fucking kept going. So I was like, fuck this fucking EDM song. And we made it like in the basement of my house at the like little bar I had. And we just fucking did it.
Yeah.
And I just fucking, everything I wanted to say, every person that's ever said anything bad about, except Luke Bryan, I was fucking drunk. I didn't even mean to say his name in it.
Aww.
And I didn't realize what I did until after I got it back from Adam. And I was like, what the fuck did Luke Combs do to me? Like, or not Luke Combs, Luke Bryan. Luke Bryan. What the fuck did Luke Bryan do to me? I was like,
what did you say about Luke Bryan?
I just said he never kicked up dust.
Oh.
Like, so it was
and did
like,
somebody get offended?
No, it was just, it shouldn't even have been in the song, to be honest with you. But it fucking, totally wrong name.
Yeah.
But we just fucking, we sent it and let it go. But them guys, man, they play the fucking, that victim shit, bro. It's just the victim role.
Well, that, and I feel like people try to bully people and they don't expect you to bite back. So when you do bite back, they're like, how dare he, you know? Because that's how it is with me. Like, if a bitch tries me and I say something back to them, they're just like, oh my God, Bunny's a fucking bitch.
But then
know?
Sometimes they just want your fucking attention.
Right. Yeah, well.
They do it and they'll be like, oh, fuck, huge fan. Fucking big fan. Love you, Bunny. You're fucking awesome.
Yeah. I've had so many people do that. So, did you guys had a redneck rave this year already, didn't you?
No. Our first one's in March.
Oh, wait. I keep thinking it's fucking 2021 still. Sorry. Yeah. When is redneck rave for 2022?
We have one in March, and then we have one in June. So March, we're in South Carolina for the first time ever. So that's going to be a badass time. And then fucking, we're back in Blue Holler off-road during the summer.
Do you know who's performing yet? Or you're not announcing?
I'm not. So I got this new fucking thing. Yeah. And it worked last year. Fucking amazing.
I saw that.
So I'm just going to never announce the lineup.
That's crazy. So people will buy tickets blindly?
Yeah. Well, I mean, you're buying it for the good time.
Right.
So the concert is really just a bonus at the end of the day.
Right.
And once I realized that, like, we built the name to what it is to where we don't, you know what I mean? We don't have to really, I wouldn't say we don't need a headliner, so to speak, to sell tickets. Now the brand itself is selling its own tickets.
Right.
So by having people fucking have no idea, it stops all of the... Well, fucking, you know, is fucking church going to be there? Is fucking, you know, Jelly Roll going to be there? It's just like, I don't know.
Right.
You know what I mean? You just let them fucking figure it out. So, like, when we brought out Afro Man.
Yeah, that's crazy.
No, it was fucking, you thought Elvis fucking Presley just fucking hit the redneck rave.
Well, because nobody's seen him in so long. Yeah. So, for him to just pop up, I mean, how did you even fucking.
He had a camo fucking suit on and shit. It was pretty
How
funny.
Did you even get him there? He was just like, I'm
Me and
all
Kimmy
for it.
Smoking weed. Aww. And fucking, we were just sitting there getting high and fucking Colt 45 came on. And then we were just like, man, wouldn't it be crazy if fucking Afro Man just came to the rave? And then literally I called my guy. I was like, hey, what's his booking info? And we booked him in like 2 hours of being high.
Wow.
Like, yeah. So it was like fucking, he showed up. That's all the main thing that matters.
What are your expectations for the redneck rave? Like, where do you want to see this go to? Cause I know you just started it out just thinking, you know, it was going to be like a party thing, but this shit could actually go to like iconic levels. I mean, it's already iconic if you think about it, because nobody's doing it. Yeah. So it's like, where do you want this to go?
Like fucking, like some AC/DC, Kid Rock kind of like acts that come unannounced.
Have you ever tried to bring it to Vegas?
No, never tried. Because what it's the name, it's a gift and a curse. Mm-hmm. So when people hear the Redneck Rave, like I've inquired about a lot of like really good parks and all, they just won't fuck with it. Because now when you Google, it's like fucking the wildest party in the world. And
that's why I feel like Vegas would eat it up. Yeah, because we have like... well,
but is there any off-roading parks or anything like that in Vegas?
There is Sam Boyd Stadium. I'm not sure if it's still around because I haven't been out there in 6 years. But there is Sam Boyd Stadium. But we used to host... a bunch of my friends used to host the Pimpin' Ho party out there. The Pimpin' Ho Ball. Mm-hmm. Like, they love
Never
shit
got
like
an
that.
Invite to this.
Oh man, but it's not around anymore, but they love shit like that. So I could really see you like expanding out to like Vegas and they would embrace it. I don't know.
And you got, and it's in Vegas, it's more like dust and like sand kind of. Don't they have like,
yeah,
like
you could literally pull up in a fucking desert and fucking just throw the party dude. They love to rave out there. That's like Cali and fucking Vegas is like where people fucking started raving. Yeah. They have EDC. Is that what it's called, Mimi? I'm asking you. It's EDC.
See, that's the type of shit that's when you ask what level do you want to be.
Right.
Like the fucking EDC and the coach of the redneck world. So
exactly.
That's what I kind of like. Because when I was doing not to backtrack, but like before I started doing the raves, I had a buddy named Jake Slater, and he did those big EDM festivals.
Yeah.
And he would let me host them.
Mm-hmm.
So I learned how to MC, and then that's where I got the fucking whole name of the rave for the redneck. So I didn't want to leave that out. But
there's a lot of fucking rednecks that are on the West Coast.
Every fucking
Yeah. Like, I didn't realize until I got with my husband how many fucking rednecks are on the West Coast.
Yes.
I have so many friends that are like, I love your husband. And I'm like... how the fuck, when? Like, how would you have even heard of him? But it, there are. So, I mean, I don't know. It's just an idea to branch out there.
Like, you'll go places and you would never, you'll see a fucking a rebel flag just in the middle of nowhere. And you're just like, no fucking way. Like, yeah. Like, this is not even close to the South.
I think it should be something that that should be on your radar, though, just to keep expanding the brand or whatever, yeah, you know?
No, 100%. I'm 100% going to look into it because that's, that is actually, I never even thought about going to Vegas because
you should.
Like, I'd probably lose the whole bag from the rave as soon as it's over.
Just go and gamble. Yeah.
Fucking broke, man. Yeah. I'm fucking lost, babe. So, yeah.
For sure. So the album with Lil White, what else musically are you going to be doing this year?
So I got like a, I got a song that I'm about to do. Like, it drops January 9th with Jesse Howard.
Okay.
And then we got the Me and Lil White album. And then we have me and Big Murph. That's like, that's my right hand guy. He's my fucking best friend. I'm going to go on record and say he's just fucking super talented.
Aww.
He's a beast, man. And then just some singles and stuff like that. And
yeah.
Whatever transpires, I guess. I'm really focused on the rave this year, though. So
yeah. That's kind of like growing that brand and stuff and being a daddy.
Yes, yes. I'm gone from the house for like the next 14 days or 11 days or something like that. And the whole time, I'm just like, I just want to get back home to my daughter. I literally, that's the only thing I do. Like, I get up and I stare at her. I just weird kind of just fucking. Just look at her and then make faces. And that's the funny thing about, like, even people like Calhoun. Mm-hmm. Like, everybody, they'd be the biggest, baddest motherfuckers, mm-hmm. man. But you put a little baby girl in front of them, they fucking start talking gibberish.
Oh, yeah.
They fucking instantly just fucking crumble. So
I told Adam, was so worried because it was before Margie had given birth. And he was like, I don't know what to do. And I was just like, dude, she's your piece. She's what you're looking for right now in your life. I was like, as soon as that baby comes out, you're going to know exactly what to do. And he did it. You guys are crushing it as far as the dads go.
Adam's really a cool guy. That's like, if I have to say somebody in this industry, I would like fucking that
authentic.
I know has my back. No, like just like we have just a great bond, a good friendship.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's who I call when I want advice. Because it's like, when you're the one always giving the advice, who do you go to for advice?
Oh, yeah, for sure. And do you feel like you have a lot of friends in this industry?
I would say, to be honest, I've learned, I try not to get too close to artists anymore.
Yeah.
Because I've sat there and I've met a lot of these artists, and like, once I meet them, it's kind of like, man, that's it. It loses the fucking the flair,
the veil of, yeah, like, you know what I mean? Of like the hot, yeah,
yeah. So it's like, I try to, like, I always pay my respects and, you know what I mean, and, mm-hmm. and stuff like that, but it's just, I don't try to be best friends like everybody else. Like, I don't want to have a fake friendship just because we're, you know,
of
doing the same thing.
People's names or something like that.
Yeah, I would rather just, we see each other, dap each other up, you know, fucking, I really don't have a lot of animosity with anybody that's doing actually something. All the fucking trolling and all the people, they're like, I call them like the fucking, the island of misfit rappers.
Oh.
Like the fucking, the Rudolph, the red-nosed reindeer thing, you know how they had the island?
Yeah.
And they're just fucking stuck over there, and they all did it to themselves, and then they just fucking, they point the blame at everybody instead of looking in the fucking mirror.
I feel like this industry is so full of snakes.
Yes.
Like, just in the past 6 years of being with Jay and just seeing all the shit that he's gone through with people, like, it's really hard to trust people in this industry. You never know who has your best interest.
Yeah. Well, everybody has like a motive or something that they're fucking, they're playing a card behind the scenes, and it's never, I mean, I wouldn't say never, because there is some real people, but you know, for the most time, like you said, it's fucking snakes.
You just gotta always watch your back. Who's been your favorite person to work with?
Oh man, I have to go with Calhoun, man.
Yeah,
like, that's literally my daughter's godfather.
Oh, so you guys are like tight.
Yes, like that's my guy. So Calhoun, man, he's always kept his word.
Yeah,
he's fucking, when he says he's gonna deliver, fucking delivers. He's that's the guy.
When are you guys gonna do something?
Oh, we got plenty of songs.
Yeah.
So like, I get like one Calhoun feature a year.
Oh,
I make fun of it the whole time, because I'm like, I get one fucking Calhoun song a year, which is cool. I'm perfectly okay with that.
Yeah.
But now we he'll be on the White album. He's gonna do a feature up there for us. So
awesome.
We got a feature. He was on Country Rap Facts. He really didn't talk no shit, which I was surprised.
Yeah.
Because I know when I sent it to him, I was like, oh, I know he's gonna fucking, because that's, we got the same kind of mentality. And
yeah.
He didn't fucking say nobody's names. So I was like, oh my God, you fucking.
I feel like if you did a Country Rap Facts part two, that he would have something to talk about, because that shit that happened when he was here in Nashville. What the fuck?
Yeah, like, yeah, man.
That I'll talk shit about, because that whole situation was just fucking bullshit.
Man, I fucking, I don't even want to fucking. Yeah. I was like, because when I heard about
I'm
it.
I'm baiting you.
No, it was like when I heard it, like when I fucking heard about like how it was going down and shit. Like, I was just like, why? Because I understood it. Like, he was trying to be like, yo, I'm trying to fucking bring everybody together, fucking do this album, yada, yada. And I was just like, bro, but not that person. Like, I understand, like, people are cool with him and shit like that. But I've literally, like, just never really heard anything good about this individual.
Right, me either.
So why are you going to... But hey, that's it's his fucking life, his career.
So I feel So I feel like if you did do a Country Rat Facts Part 2, he would probably have some more shit to talk if you wanted to. Yeah, isn't he only doing like two more albums or something? Or something like that.
But he'll always do features and shit, man. So
So where are you going from here? Did you guys just drive in for the interview?
No, I think we're gonna go pull up on Chad, that Chad Arms guy.
Oh yeah. I love Chad. They're actually coming on the podcast. I'm really proud of them. They're crushing
it. He's pretty cool. I like how he just vibes out and chills. And like, those are my kind of people.
No, but they're hard workers. I love their podcast that they have going on too. They're just like doing the whole, you know, circuit of guys and stuff like that. So I think
it brings light on everybody. I feel like that's the main fucking, if you just put something, focus on that shit, it'll be good, man.
Yeah. Well, why don't you tell everybody where they can find you online, like all your socials and stuff like that.
You can find me on the internet trolling somebody. redneckrave.com.
Yes.
You can just go there. Who the fuck is Justin Time is on all the socials and stuff. So usually you just got to put in like WhoTF. But it's fucking, you're not going to see nothing but me posting pictures of my daughter anyway. Aww. So there's that. And drinking and stuff.
Just
like
living life, having fun. I'm excited to see where 2022 takes you. Because, I know
you're going to kill it, though.
You work hard, man.
I watch you. I study you. I think it's cool what you do. And you put out a lot of content.
I appreciate that.
And you fucking, it's A1 content. Like, it's not just some boo-boo shit, so.
I appreciate that so much.
Everybody that's watching, just fucking invest in your fucking, all the cameras and all that shit.
Oh, yeah, invest in your brand. Yeah. That's what I try to teach everybody. But I'm really excited to see what 2022 holds for you, because I've been watching you for the past few years, too, and just watching your whole brand grow. And I think it's really awesome, and your work ethic is amazing, and just your... I'm excited to see where the fuck Redneck Rave goes, because I really think you're on to something here. I hope, man.
It's like maybe you invest. But I do want to say one thing, though. Like, everybody only sees the winning part now.
Yeah.
They didn't see the 4 years where I would take L after L after L after L, and they didn't see, like, me having to sell shit and pawn shit and do all this, because I never not paid an artist. So, like, the jewel that I would say, like, always honor anything you say, whether it's in a contract or a verbal commitment.
Yeah.
These artists, they're going to remember that. Mm-hmm. And like, me being a promoter and an artist, I see both lanes.
That's got to be so hard to being a promoter. I see all the shit that the promoters have to go through just booking things. Oh, and like,
well, see, I learned early. I was like, hey, I'm just going to give you this fucking bag. I'm not doing no hotels. Yeah. I'm not doing no damn riders. Yeah. Like, I'll pay whatever I have to pay extra, but just like, pull up. So that's the good thing also about the rave.
Yeah.
It's like, the artists don't just stay in the tour buses or stay in a fucking a green room.
They're right.
Like, they go out there, they mud with everybody, and they do shit like that. So I feel like that's another thing that the rave does different. It's like, I won't book anybody if they're just going to like hide from the crowd the whole time. Like, you have to go out there and you have to fucking, you know, shake hands
and kiss babies.
Yeah, the people that are like, hey, they're buying your music, man. So it's like, you got to fucking... show love to them.
No, I love that. So your advice for anybody who's trying to come up is just always honor your word.
Always honor your word. 100%. Like, no matter what you do, and invest in all your shit, like, that's around.
Own your own shit. Yeah. That's like one of the things that if I try
own
to
your
like,
masters.
Yeah, that too.
I feel like there's a few of y'all. I'm trying to be nice, but a few of y'all don't own your masters.
We're going to let you talk shit on Chad's podcast. Chad, I'm sending him over to you, buddy. Well, Justin, thank you so much for being here, babe. I really appreciate you. And you got to promise me that you're going to be a return guest and just come back like at least once a year.
Yes, ma'am.
And check in and tell me all your great stories and stuff like that.
Yes, ma'am. I had a lot of stories, but I know we can't talk shit on this one. So we're going to wait until round two. And then we'll slowly ease into all the fucking shit. Because I know that's what everybody everybody's thinking right now. They're like, oh, fucking Justin's going to talk shit. But
yeah.
No, I'd rather just.
No, like, I actually kind of prepped him before. I was like, you know what? Out of respect for my husband, we're not going to get deep into talking shit. We're going to test the waters first. So that next time I bring you back on, maybe we can just do full go ahead.
Well, that's cool. To be honest, though, but that's good because none of it should focus.
Yeah, I want people to see what I see in you. You know, like everybody's like, you know, oh, Justin, troll, whatever. He's always trolling people or picking on people. And it's like, no, I think there's like a really fucking amazing brain, you know, behind like a brand. Said, to build a brand like you have.
The background.
Yeah, exactly. To build a brand like you have, you're a smart motherfucker, dude.
Thank you.
You know, and
well, I mean, I couldn't have done it without old Kimmy, though. So,
yeah,
I got to give her credit where it's due.
Yeah. 100%. Are you guys married?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Did you guys get married at like, did you guys do like a big wedding?
No, we actually got married at a redneck rave.
Did you?
So I can be the only one in the world to say that fucking church played at my wedding.
Aww.
Because I booked him and then we did our wedding at the same time. So like we went on stage. It was lightning bugs and all this other shit. Aww. Like we did all of that. So it was.
I love you guys. You guys just have a cool.
It's super cheesy, but it's super like romantic, I guess.
I know, but that's you. That's you guys' not cheesy, but that's you guys' brand. That's your baby. Yeah. You know,
she
put
mud in her wedding dress and all
that. Yeah, when's her birthday?
Don't do this to me. Oh, my God, baby. She already knows I'm bad at this. So, like, I have to get shit tattooed on me. You put me on the spot. That'd be the one time I blush now because I know I'm about to hear it for that.
Oh, no. Kimmy, I apologize.
Her birthday's every day.
There you go, baby. It's a celebration
celebration every day.
There we go. Yeah. All right, we're going to end it on that before I get him in more trouble.
Yes. Thank you.
You guys, thank you for tuning in to another episode of Dumb Blonde. I will see you guys next week. Bye. What's up, guys? Don't forget to sub to Patreon so that you can see the visuals. Because not only do we have episodes of the podcast, we have exclusive content that nobody else sees on any other apps, behind the scenes, photo shoots, and we're dropping a whole bunch of surprising stuff this year. So if you guys don't want to miss out and you want to be the first to know, go over to our Patreon, www.dumbblondeunrated.com. Love ya. From crash diets to fad diets, injections and pills, the weight loss industry is a cash machine, but it is all temporary because once you stop, most people gain the weight back plus a little extra. Imagine all that time and money and you're still left hiding your body under baggy clothes or turning the lights off when you're with your significant other because you're shy or embarrassed about your body. Well, Sono Bello can help you change the way you look at yourself. In one visit, you will see the difference in your tummy, side, thighs, arms, or wherever you have stubborn fat. You guys know me. I let you guys know when I get stuff done. I absolutely do not see anything wrong with getting a little bit of laser lipo done. I had it done right before the Grammys and it smoothed my hips for my dress. And let me tell you, I will do it again and again and again. Schedule your free consultation and learn all about microlaser fat removal. Give yourself the gift of a full body reset. You deserve to be happy. Sono Bello is running a great special right now. Visit SonoBello.com/bunny, BUNNIE. That's SonoBello, SonoBello.com/bunny.